Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, blessed Holy Spirit, I ask you to give every word the voice. I ask you to give voice to all the things you are saying, all the scriptures you want brought forth, and especially the sense, the idea, and the revelation of what you're saying to us, to God's people in this hour. I feel like we're at the most crucial hour that I've ever seen in my life. And I believe that what we do as a body of Christ, what we do as believers, is really important right now. So I ask you to give us direction and give us help and hope in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so praise the Lord. This has been so interesting. I've been reading a lot in Exodus, and I felt like throughout the week, I was having the feeling that God wanted me to help people find stability, because I know that a lot of the regulars that watch, you're very stable and solid. Thank you, Jesus. For people that aren't moved, you know, one of my favorite scriptures, as you know, is that we're to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so that means when things come, you know, a wave comes this way and a wave goes that way, that we're not moved by it. You know, we're like a tree planted by, remember the old song, I'm like a tree, it's based on the scripture. I'm like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. And what does that mean? It's a person who's got their roots going down deep into God, deep into the Word, and deep into the soil that's, what, by the river of the Holy Spirit, right? That our relationship with God goes deep. Remember the parable of the sower, how people who didn't have deep enough roots when trouble came, they didn't make it. And we're in a day where we're seeing people manifest whatever's in them. You know, if fear is in them, it's beginning to, instead of being a hidden thing or a masked thing, it starts to, manifest. A lot of people wear masks to church. I know you guys don't. You're not that sort. I know most of you, and thank God you're not like that. And I'm so happy, and I'm obviously not either, but we can wear a mask, but what's really in there starts to surface when things get tough. When things get hard, it's like a pressurizing effect. It's like a squeeze. When the fire comes, what begins to happen is what's in us, comes to the surface, until sometimes we say, I didn't even know that was in there. I didn't know that was going on inside me. I didn't know that I hadn't dealt with that. I thought I had dealt with that. And so we're seeing a lot of things come to the surface. And that's normal in any trial, whether it's a global trial like this one, or just a trial that, you know, people are going through. But trials, one of the things about trials is it causes us to see who we really are, not just who we say we are, and not even maybe who we believe we are. And so it's actually a great time, because sometimes God will allow a little bit of a pressure cooker to help us see. Because if you're like me, and I know most of you are just like me, where you're praying, God, I want to be changed. I want to change. I want to be set free. I want to be steadfast and immovable. I don't want to be shaken when everything flies through the air. I want to be one of those rock solid believers that is not moved. Well, for that to happen, sometimes we have to get rid of those issues. And so sometimes something will come to the surface and you may recognize, wait a minute, I didn't think I was in fear, but that's fear. Or I didn't know that I had anxiety, but that's anxiety. Or I didn't know that I had that little bit of unforgiveness or anger. I didn't know that I was on a short fuse, but look at that. So you'll start to see sometimes behaviors, or maybe here's how I usually notice if I've got a problem that I didn't know I had. Something will come out of my mouth and I'll hear it and think, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we have to be careful. But you know what a lot of Christians do? We mask, we filter what comes out of our mouth because we're so worried about what people think. And that's what religion does, right? And so we go to church with our little churchy mask on, you know, but when you're stuck at home alone, and for me, most of you know my story, when I heard that we could, as humans, as the body of Christ, we could carry the actual presence of God. We could carry the glory without ever touching it, without ever taking it for ourselves, that we would be allowed, in fact, God desires for us to carry the presence and the glory of God to the others, because people need Jesus Christ, and especially in this day. This is a huge time, a huge time. The fields are white on the harvest. People don't know what to do, and they're looking for someone who's walking in peace. They're looking for someone who's walking in strength. They're looking for someone who's walking in power. And I want that to be you, and I want it to be me. And so God's been really showing me that what we do during this season is very, very important. And He's preparing us to be like, I'm going to say it, like the apostles. They weren't, you know, the church has had such a, almost this mystification about the apostles, where they've elevated them. And of course we honor, respect, and love them. And we read their writings, and we know that the Holy Spirit inspired them to write the scriptures, and we know that that's holy. But somehow I think the devil tricked the church into saying that certain things could have only been done by those apostles. But if you really study the scriptures, you'll find that that is not what Jesus taught, and it's not what the apostles taught. They were the first of many. And the church went through hundreds of years where Satan tried to steal the truth about the power of God out of the church and make it to be a shell that carried the appearance of godliness, but denying the power thereof, right? They knew about, they could talk about the godliness, but they denied the power of it. And they acted like, well, that was only for back then. And that was actually a trick of the devil to steal the power from the church. But in this day, I'm telling you what God wants. There's a war on right now. If you haven't noticed, there's a war on, but the war is not about to wear or not to wear a mask, to go out or stay in, business or not business. That's actually kind of a, I think, a facade. There's all this kind of war going on that isn't what the real war is. The real war is, it says, the Bible says, that nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, meaning that Satan's kingdom will rise against God's kingdom. Satan's time is very short. And so what he is trying to do is cut short the time frame. There's a scripture in Daniel that talks about the last days, and it says that the enemy will actually try to change the appointed seasons. He'll try to change the time frames. He's going to try to shorten our space of time on this earth. He's going to try to do some takeover stuff. And if the believers do not begin to use their authority in the earth, okay, if we do not begin to speak, proclaim, and pray, and maybe even do some fasting and push back, this is what the Lord wants. The Lord wants there to be the space of time that there's supposed to be, because many people have prophesied, and frankly, prophets that have a phenomenal track record. There are some prophets that, to our knowledge, never missed it. You know, to our knowledge, we don't know of a single time when they said something big and it was, you know, wrong. They're accurate. And so we could point to multiple of them that talked about a great awakening that would happen. Okay? Some of you, I'm sure, are aware of these, but there are multiple ones. But just one of them was that Bob Jones said that when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, that was a signal that the next great awakening would happen, and he saw a billion soul harvest. Well, I think that all this stuff that's happening is going to cause a great hunger and a great thirst for people, and they're watching the saints. And if they see an insipid church that is afraid, or a bunch of crazy people that are just yelling and mad, which that's, to be honest, what I'm seeing right now, people that are... And I get it. I'm mad, too. I don't like all that's being done. There's some really terrible stuff going on. It shouldn't be going on. And yes, I'm mad, too. I get it. But if we actually saw this thing of some of the Christians' rights being taken away, and all the people responding appeared to be Christians, but there was as much cussing as you could imagine anywhere. And it was like, you know what? The world is watching the saints right now. They're watching us. They're watching how we handle. And they can tell, listen, you cannot, you can fool believers, but you can't fool unbelievers. You cannot. They know if you're the real thing, and they know if you're a fake. I had a great compliment given to me once. There was a bunch of us in this outdoor, it was an outdoor like class, where you actually went on a trip for some days, and you kind of stayed together, and you're camping and stuff. And there were several Christians there. And a friend of mine, I was witnessing to a friend of mine, and she said that this other person was into church. She said, that person's into church, but you're into God. Now, I thought, thank you, Lord, because I don't want to just preach the church. And I don't just want to represent, oh, I'm churchy, I'm religious. I want people to know, and I want them to feel and sense that there's something real. Do I make mistakes? You bet. But the love for God in our hearts and the love for each other should be evident. Should be evident that we're walking in love, that we have the love of God, that we know we are loved by God. Do you knowing, I'm saying this wrong, do you know that knowing that God loves you is one of the greatest things you can have? Because when you know, when you get a revelation on the inside that God loves you, despite all your faults, you know, it's not that we suddenly think we're perfect. We're not perfect. But we know that God loves me in spite of me. God loves me with all my stuff. God loves me as I am. I'm still on my way. I'm still on my journey. I'm still getting better. I'm still becoming who I am supposed to be in the Spirit. God created your identity in the Spirit. And you are becoming, you are in the state of becoming, you are in a journey to become the person he's already ordained for you to be. That's amazing. That's wonderful. That's holy. And it's heavenly. And part of the problem that we've had is that people have not given the word enough entrance into their spirit man, into their heart. We haven't given the word, the truth of God's word, enough light in us that it makes a change. No, the Word of God changes everything it touches. If you put the Word of God into you, you know, you may not even understand it. You begin to put the Word of God in you. You may not even have a full revelation of what it means. In fact, most of the time, the revelation of the Word has many levels, many, many levels. But when you put it in you, the Holy Spirit begins to grow it. So you read the word and you speak the word and you pray the word over yourself and you speak it over the nation. You speak it over the state. You speak the word of God, whether you really fully understand it or not. It is not like any other book. It is alive from eternity. Eternity past, eternity future. It is heavenly. It is holy. And it is the power, the word of God. What God speaks, when God speaks, it is. When he says something, it is forever a power that hangs there. It doesn't just go somewhere and fail like our words. It is, when God says something, it is eternal. It is eternal. It is continually happening. Does that make sense to you? Think about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Think about it. I've meditated on it for years because that is pretty far out there for our minds to understand, isn't it? But for a lot of years, I've said, what, why did it say the word? Why didn't it say, you know, in the beginning was the light, and the light was, in the beginning was power, in the beginning was strength. Why did it say the word? And then why did it say that Jesus, you know, the word became flesh and dwelt among us? What does that mean? And what is God trying to say? And I'm not going to pretend I have the fullness of that revelation, because I think some of it's really vast, really heavenly. But some pieces that I've gotten, one thing I will say is that the Word of God, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is a statement. Jesus is an eternal statement from the Father. Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Like, I'm the statement he's making to the earth. And it's Jesus. It's not just Jesus 2,000 years ago. God is making a statement to the world. And that statement contains all healing, all power, all miracles. resurrection power. He is still making that statement, because once God says a thing, it is. And it continues, it continues, it continues, it continues. You see? So we have in our possession something that I don't think we fully know we have. I know you know the scriptures, but it says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So how do we get that dead raising power, that resurrection power, to begin to manifest and sort of take over? And how is it that some people begin to move in it to such a degree where the miracles are staggering? And then Satan says, well, they're special. They're specially called. I really believe that what happens is they've allowed the Word of God to be put on the inside of them until it grew and it grew and it grew. And the light and the power and the strength, the dunamis, the explosive power of the Holy Spirit. See, you know me, I talk about the Holy Ghost all the time, but let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost has to have some word to work with. He uses the word. He spoke the word. He inspired the word. He's the one that wrote the word. So they are always in agreement. The word, the Bible says, the word and the spirit agree. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost wrote it. He inspired it. He inspired it. He breathed it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? It's God breathed. And what's the name of the Holy Spirit? Ruach, the breath of God. But what is he doing? He takes the word and he makes it alive. That's when there's an explosion. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, there was a guy that understood miracles. And he said, the real power comes when there is a marriage of the word and the spirit. And so I want to say this. I think that Christianity, that in today's society, Christianity became, well, we really didn't have time to do enough studying on our own. Now, some people do, and I thank God for them. You know, I thank God for people who are holding up a standard of the Word of God. Thank God. But I think a lot of people just said, well, it's too hard, or I'm too busy, or I don't really get it, so I'm going to watch great preaching, and that will build me up. Well, thank God that we can do that right now. Thank God for the freedom to do that. But what will really make you powerful is when you begin to put it on the inside of you, and you say, well, I don't really get it. Doesn't matter. It's alive, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword that the devil can throw at you or that the world can throw at you. It actually is alive. Listen, all things are held together, the Bible says. All things are held together by the word of his power. Think about it. The earth is held together. A tree outside your window, your car, your chair, that chair you're sitting in, your physical body, your spleen, your liver is held together. Matter, physical matter, is held together by the word of his power. Fact. That's what the Bible says. And so that's why it says all things are possible to him who believes. You know, Jesus said this thing, and I think I used to take it too lightly. He said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? Will he find faith in the earth? And I used to think, well, sure, you know, here we are at the end of the age and there's just millions of Christians. Sure, he'll find faith. Totally not understanding, I think, what he really meant. Because at the end, there's a great shaking. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like sometimes some of the scriptures I read, but it says that it's, if those days weren't shortened, that even some of the elect wouldn't make it. That's a scary scripture. I don't like it, but there it is. So how shall we not only survive or thrive, but how do we rule? Listen, this is the day I'm telling you where the body of Christ needs to stand up and begin to rule and reign. And I don't mean through politics, although if you're called to do that, that's cool. I'm not saying don't do it. If God has called you to do it, yay, I'm glad you're doing it. But what I am saying is that we, you and me, all of us, from the greatest to the least, I don't care. I don't care if you're the Gideon of the body of Christ. You have more authority, the Bible says, than any of the Old Testament prophets. All the Old Testament prophets longed to look into what we have in the New Covenant. They longed for it. Kings, it says, longed to look into the things that we would have. You have, if you're a born-again Christian, you have in your mortal body, inside your body, you have the explosive, dynamite, miracle-working power of Jesus Christ. But how do we make the connection? How do we become, instead of just carrying it and wishing things were better and wondering, well, do I really have it? You see, the devil has sold us so many lies. One is, you're not worthy. The Bible clearly says you weren't, but that Jesus died. It says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So that means if you're born again, you became. Your born-again spirit is righteous and holy with his righteousness, not your own, because you don't have any. I don't have any. My righteousness, Holly's righteousness, filthy rags. Jesus' righteousness in me, perfect and holy. So we don't ever operate out of our own ability because we don't have any ability. I can't preach out of any ability I have because I promise I don't have it. I've learned, though, how to get Holly out of the way and say, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? I've learned how to step aside and let the Spirit in me, the Holy Ghost in me, through my spirit man, give me what to say. And if I just trust, it's a trust issue. We have to learn how to trust to move in the Spirit. But God is raising up people, and I want you to be one of them, that will not settle, that will not allow. We're being intimidated by all these laws and rules, being intimidated by a lot of things, but you know where the battle's going to be won? Think about the scripture where it says if a man will go into his room and close the door and pray to his Father in secret, God will reward him openly. I'm telling you, when you go into that back room by yourself or on the phone with us, it's okay, but you go into that prayer room and you begin to deal with God, deal with the devil, deal with your flesh, and deal with the junk in the world. You know, God's been sharing something with me this week, and theologians could get after me. They might say this is out of context, but I really believe I got this from the Holy Ghost. Moses stood on the bank. Now remember, Moses had a staff, and his staff came from God, and that thing was anointed. Remember his staff, you know, early on in Exodus, when God was telling him to come, you know, to talk to Pharaoh, and he really didn't feel courageous enough to do it. He tried to get out of it, actually. Said, you know, I don't speak well, Lord, hallelujah. How many of us have ever said that to God? Oh, Lord, you know I don't speak well. You know I don't have it, you know. But God wasn't looking for him to have it. He was looking to do it through him. Well, at one point, God said to him, what's that in your hand, Moses? Hey, Moses, what's that in your hand? That scripture just makes me laugh. Like God is saying, what is that in your hand there, bud? You know, as if he didn't know. And Moses is like, a staff. I must say this to you. What is that in your hand? Your Bible. What is that in your hand? The scriptures. What is that in your hand? The power of the living God. What is it in your hand? The Word of God. Put the Bible in you. Listen, the Bible has power, but only through those who proclaim it and speak it. We were put here. I don't know if you really know this. You may know it in your head, but I want you to know it. My mom would say, in your gizzard. I want you to know it so deep in you, in your spirit, man, so that if anyone tried to say it wasn't true, you would automatically, you know that there's such a thing as an autoresponder in your spirit, man? An autoresponder. You know what an autoresponder is? It's a computer term. Let me give you an example. An autoresponder would be as if I went on vacation and I was going to go somewhere way up in the mountains where I didn't have access to email. Okay? I would turn on my autoresponder that says, anytime someone sends me an email, automatically respond to them and say this, I'm on vacation and I don't have access to email, but I will check it in a few days and get back to you. And this autoresponder would respond to every person automatically. And it's triggered by an event, right? Do you know that your spirit man has the capability? Do you know that your mind and your spirit have far more capability than any computer yet created? Man has not been able to match what God did in you. I said, man has not been able to invent or create a computer that can match what God did in your mind and your spirit. And you say, but I've never been smart. You don't need to be, because when you were born again, you were given, free of charge, the mind of Christ. You say, well, where is it? It's in your spirit man. As you feed your spirit with the Word of God, as you feed it truths, feed it faith, feed it truth, feed it faith, and let it grow, and let it grow, and let it grow. You say, well, that sounds like work. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. What begins to happen is your spirit man, what did Paul say? I bring my body under, I bring my flesh under. You want to bring your carnal thinking under. Some of you have auto response of fear. Some of your auto responder is worry. Something happens and instantly you start worrying and then you're trying to overcome the worry. Can I say to you, that's a stronghold. I love you, but get the stronghold out of there. You deal with that thing in the spirit. Go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father in secret. And you pray. If you have to fast, you fast. And you keep after that thing. Pray in the spirit. Pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. And you go after that thing until it is out. Okay? A stronghold acts like an autoresponder. And a person with a stronghold of fear, you know, you could come and say, well, you know, I heard a noise in the car. It didn't sound right. You know, and a person who has fear, they're going to go down the road of, oh my gosh, how much is it going to cost? Am I going to get there safely? A person with fear, it'll be a big deal. A person that doesn't have fear, they'll be like, oh yeah, I probably got to call what's his name and see if he has time to work on it this week. A person who has a stronghold of worry will worry even when there's nothing to worry about. Do you know that? A person with a stronghold of worry, when there's nothing to worry about, they actually worry, is there something that I should be worrying about? Maybe I should be worrying about my kids. Your kids are fine. Maybe I should be worrying about the bills. Your bills are fine. It's almost like a stronghold tries to take root and take over. That's why it's called a stronghold, because it has taken over the neural pathways of the way your brain works and the way you respond. It's an auto-responder. So, that's why we need to be transformed. It says, be not conformed to this world. Don't be poured into the mold of this world, looking like everybody else. Worried, scared, depressed, frightened. Don't be poured into that mold. That ain't your mold. I'm going to tell you right now, that is not who you are called to be. You're called to be set apart. You understand that he called you kings and priests. Kings and priests. What do kings do? They rule. Jesus said, he who believes on me, the works that I do, will he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father in heaven. Did you hear that? Jesus, I'm going to say it again. Jesus said, he who believes on me, the works that I do, will he do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father in heaven. So how do we invoke the greater works? I'm telling you, when you begin to put it in there, because the Word of God is alive. The Word of God, the truth of God, it's alive. It's a living revelation. It's not just head knowledge, okay? Head knowledge can be like this. Yes, I believe Jesus is Lord. And you know what the Bible says? You do well. The demons also believe and tremble, right? Because head knowledge won't save you. Head knowledge or head faith is saying, yes, I believe that's true. Yes and amen, I believe that's true with your head. But faith is a force, a living force that lives inside you. Where is it? It's in the spirit. It's in your spirit man. And a person who's starved their spirit won't be able to have a lot of faith. And so they'll usually come and grab onto the coattails of somebody who has a lot of faith. I'm telling you, in this day, I believe we're going to see that people are walking in faith and walking in peace and know what God is doing and saying, and they're right smack in the middle of it. They are going to become an extremely precious commodity. That's what the Lord told me. You'll become a precious commodity if you're truly prophetic and accurate. You'll become a precious commodity if you're walking in faith. People will recognize that you're in peace. What is this peace that you have? What is it? People, listen, I have someone, you know, I love very much who thinks they're a Buddhist, but they, and Buddhists are real big on peace, but you know what? They don't have the peace I have, and they know it. They see that I have a living, abiding peace that No one can take from me. Nothing can ever take from me. Nothing can take it from me. Doesn't matter what they all do. You know why? Because I know God. And I don't just know him. I want you to have this. I want you to have this in you. I understand that his nature and character will always be to take care of his own, to bless and protect and heal and guide. That's God's desire. He loves his children. God loves his kids. God wants his kids to shine during this time. He wants us to pick up the scepter of God and begin to rule. Go in your closet and shut the door and deal with God. Deal with the devil. Deal with your strongholds. The world would say your demons. Deal with them. Deal with those things. Don't just say, oh God, fix it for me. There's some things, I'm going to say a wild statement here. There's some things God cannot fix. You know why? God has made you and me a sovereign entity in the earth. He's made you a sovereign sub-ruler, a king. He made Adam a king over this earth. Adam screwed up. But God ordained Adam to be the prince of this world, not Satan. Satan got it by deception. Adam passed it off. He gave his crown and his scepter to the devil. And there's been trouble ever since. And Jesus came to take it back. He came to take it back and then hand it to us. What did he say? Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. You say, well, then why is this thing harming me? Because you're looking for God to come and do it, and God's looking for you to raise your scepter. What is your scepter? What is your rod? It's the word of God. And why does it work? Because it's alive. The word of God is alive. And I'm going to tell you, when you fight, you use the word of God and you use it like a sword. And you don't use it once, you use it until that thing, whatever it is dead. If you're fighting a sickness, you use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And if you're fighting depression, you use the sword of the Spirit. If you're fighting a spirit of failure, it says, oh, you're never going to make it. You're never going to make it. I used to have that stupid thing. And I remember that when I got free was the day I said, I am not taking this anymore. I know what God has told me to do. I know what he's called me to do. And if God called me, then he's smart enough to make me able. I know I'm not able. And the devil was trying to tell me, give up, quit, just lay down, just forget it. It's over for you. It's never going to happen. Give up. You're just a flop. You know what? One day I said, I'm going to quit believing that liar. He's the father of lies, Jesus said, and the truth is not in him. And some of you have been believing glop. I'm seeing a picture of someone in the spirit right now. It's like you just eat this glop, this trash, this muddy, swampy, lying soil. The devil feeds it to you in a big bowl, and every morning you eat it like, I want to say CRAP. You just eat it, and it's just garbage. And it's feeding trash to your spirit. And then you're wondering why you're battling chronic fatigue and you're battling depression and sadness and, oh, things are never going to get any better and I wish I were dead and all this stuff. I'm telling you, that's a stronghold. It's a devil. It's a liar. But as long as you keep eating his food and not God's food, is you will be sick. You can't eat trash in the spirit and be well. You have to eat God's food. It's life. The food of God is the word of God. I'll go you one further. Jesus said, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood. What was he saying? I am the bread of heaven. I am the bread of life. What was he? The word made flesh. Eat the word. Eat the word. Take communion. Eat the word. When I don't feel like it, do it anyway. I don't feel like it. Do it anyway. Some of you that I'm talking to, I don't mean to sound rebukey, but you know, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost is on me. Some of you will go to a gym when you could, and you'd spend an hour, three, four, five times a week, and you'd sweat, and you'd do all that stuff, and that's great. Paul said, you know, it says that exercise profits a little bit. Godliness profits all things. And I'm just going to say it. Some of you, even, I have people in my family that have a trainer, and they go meet with their trainer, and their trainer says, okay, now do this, now do this, now stretch, go a little further than you did yesterday. Okay, you can do more, you can do it, you can do it. And what are they doing? They're helping get in shape. But why don't we do that spiritually? Oh, that's too hard. I don't feel, listen, you think, you know, you can obviously see I'm not real big on physical exercise. No, that's not a lot of fun. But I will tell you this. In the spirit, I can do my push-ups. You need to grow to a place where whether you feel like it or not, you can read the Word of God. You can pray in the spirit. And you can spend some time. If you're not good at it, that's okay. It's just like physical exercise. You don't start by doing a 26-mile marathon. You'd be nuts if you did. And you know what happened is you'd probably pass out, and the next day you'd say, I'm never doing that again. So what do? You start with 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever you can do, and you grow, and you do a little more, and then you do a little more, and you keep at it. You keep at it. You do your push-ups. You eat the Word. See, some people have gotten dehydrated, right? How many of you have ever had a plant go dehydrated? It just goes without water. It starts to droop and droop and droop. And if you don't get water to that thing, it'll die on you. It'll get sick. Leaves start turning funny colors and it'll croak on you. What happens? You go get some water, maybe a little drop of Miracle-Gro. You start to put water in. And usually within minutes, but for sure within about an hour, you'll start to see that thing come back to life. Do you understand that you're exactly the same way? Except the water that you need is the water of God. You need the Holy Ghost. You need fellowship with God. And you need the Word. And I'm going to tell you something. I said this last time, but I feel like I'm supposed to say it again. Fighting the devil, most people faint too quickly. They give up too quickly. They jab the devil with one scripture. The devil hits them back and they say, well, I guess it doesn't work. I guess faith doesn't work, or I guess God didn't want that for me. And I know, because I used to be like that. I didn't understand faith. Listen, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? Will he find kings and priests that have said, I'm not taking this, we're not doing this? You begin to speak, and I'm going to teach you a little something. You get some proclamations, okay? You make some. We'll probably help you with this. You know, this is on, you know, Lori's heart too. It's been on my heart. But Lori was bringing up that God really has been speaking about proclamations. We're probably talking about this a lot. But you need to write proclamations, and how you write them, and you speak them every day and sometimes multiple times a day. But what you do is you take the Word of God and you come to understand, here's the thing I'm believing for. And you write it as though it is done. And this is based on Mark 11:24. It says, all things whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you have received them and you shall have them. All things whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you have received them and you shall have them. So when you pray for something and you say, there, it's done. From then on, you say, thank you, Father, that this is done. Thank you, Father, that I am healed. Thank you, Father, that that bill is paid. Thank you, Father. Edgar and I had debts. And the Lord told me, you write down every debt and the amount. You write down the car debt. You write down the credit card debt. You write down every debt, and 3 times a day you lay your hands on that thing and you speak, thank you, Jesus, that this bill is paid down to zero. Thank you that that bill is, and you know, and naming it. And you know, within a month and a half, everyone, and this was there was no way this could happen in the natural, every one of those was paid to zero. The car was paid off, credit card was paid off, every single bill we had. And I couldn't, neither Edgar or I could have figured out even how it happened. God did it. So you have to decide what it is you're believing for. Are you believing for healing? Stop fooling around. Stop playing with it. Don't dabble. You want your healing? Go after it. Write down that you are healed. Write down a proclamation and use some scripture. There's tons of scriptures that you can use. I mean, so many. Mark 11:23 is an awesome one. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. And you say, well, what if my faith isn't there yet? Well, it probably won't be day one, but you keep saying that, and you keep telling the mountain to go. Tell the symptom to go. Tell the sore throat to go. Tell the enlargement of whatever piece to go. You tell it to go. Tell the root cause to go. Tell it to die. I remember Edgar used to curse cancer at the root. Curse it. We had a guy come to a meeting, and he was stage 4, and he was an old man. He was older than Edgar. Guy showed up at a meeting at stage 4. The doctors had nothing else they could do for him. And the guy walked up to Edgar, and he said, I have cancer. And Edgar said, don't you ever say that again. You say, I had cancer. And he cursed cancer at the root. He laid hands on the guy, fell down, and we never heard from him. Like 2 months went by, and we were like, wonder whatever happened to that guy. His name was Charlie. Finally, after 2 months, we get a letter from Charlie's wife. Charlie was totally healed, 100% medically confirmed, totally healed, and they decided to take a trip to Hawaii, and that's why we didn't hear from them for 2 months. The Word of God has power. The Word of God in itself, in and of itself, has power. It's not you. Listen, circumstances aren't obeying you or your flesh. They have to obey the Word of God in you. They have to. So you say, well, my faith isn't there. It doesn't matter. You speak the Word of God, and you keep speaking the Word of God, and you speak the Word of God, and you speak the Word of God. A couple things will happen. One is your faith will rise. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? You keep speaking it. I'm telling you, you keep speaking it, because what happens is your faith will rise and rise and rise. And you begin to ordain what you will and will not allow. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of these, I'm just going to say it, this is just a free one, but some of these people that are in office are stinkers, and they're working for the devil. Okay, now I do pray for them. I pray for their souls, but I pray that either they get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and serving in a godly way, or they are removed from office. That's my proclamation. And I actually like the scripture that says that the kingdom is taken away from them and given to their neighbor who is better than them. In other words, given to a Christian. Take that. If they will not serve God, Lord, do everything you can to get them saved. But if they won't be saved, you take that off, take them out of that office and give it to somebody who is godly. And I actually name names. I won't name them here, but I will tell you there's some politicians that they're going to be removed from office. Hallelujah. Or they're going to know God. Now, I don't curse them because we're not supposed to do that. But I will say this. This is still our country, and it's still a Christian country. But if we're just fighting the battle by sending Facebook stuff to scare people half to death and hope it'll do some good, you know, the real power is when you go behind a closed door, shut the door, and pray to your Father. Deal with your Father. Deal with the devil. Deal with your flesh. Deal with strongholds. Deal with it. And begin to write some proclamations, and write them as, this is how I want it. Write it as though it's already done. Bring it before the Lord. In fact, I'm going to just recommend this to you. Jerry Savelle has written a book on the prayer of petition. And the prayer of petition, it's basically a legal term. But what Jerry does is he might spend weeks. Now, I don't do it that way. I do mine real fast, you know, because I'm just that way. But Jerry will spend weeks, and he'll study the scripture. And he'll get scriptures to prove a case that legally it is the will of God. Because he doesn't want to ask for something that's not the will of God, right? If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, we know we have the petition we ask. Well, if we know that it is his will to heal, right? By his stripes, you were healed, right? If you study the scriptures, you will be absolutely persuaded. If you really study, and if you need some help, we have some stuff that will help you. But it is absolutely God's will for you to be in perfect health. Hands down, fact. It's a fact. God wants you well. He wants you blessed. God wants you delivered. God wants you in victory. That's what he wants. But there are certain things that we need to do to bring that to pass. Okay. Well, what Jerry does is he goes through the scriptures and he comes up with a legal case. And he writes a petition before the Lord. And he spends time writing it. And then he doesn't pray it till he's ready. Now, he actually dates it. Signs it, and he goes, he has his wife come in agreement and read it, and if she's in agreement, she signs it, they signed it, and he actually, you know, and maybe this helps his faith, but he actually dresses up in a suit, and he goes before the Lord, and he brings this petition, and he says, your word says this, and your word says that, and your word says this, and your word says that, and therefore, it is your will to do this. I come before you this day, and he presents his case before the Father, knowing it is God's will based on what? The Word of God, because the Word of God is the will of God. It reveals God's will. And if God's will isn't being done in the earth, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. If God's will isn't being done in the earth, it's not God's fault. His will is that none should perish, but some are perishing. Is that God's fault? No, there's some things that the church has to begin to deal with. And we've been sleeping for a couple thousand years. We've slept through a lot of what's going on right now is because the church was asleep for hundreds of years. And we're kind of waking up and rubbing our eyes going, oh, I guess there's trouble. Listen, we need to deal with this stuff. And I don't mean to sound so intense, But I really believe that this is it. This is it. If we screw this up, I believe if we screw this time up, we may be cut shorter and God won't get to have the revival he wants. He wants to have the Great Awakening. He wants to have the billion soul harvest. He wants a space of time. He isn't done. I'm telling you, prophetically, he's not done with what he wants to do, but there's a war on and it's us and the earth. Psalm 115, verse 16. I know you hear me quote this all the time. But the heavens, even the heavens of the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth has he given to the children of men. We are supposed to rule and determine what happens on the earth. And if we don't do it, if the church doesn't do it, then Satan's crowd does do it. Because listen, they're speaking. You know how witches get stuff done? They speak. You know how warlocks get stuff done? They speak. And they know its power. And yet the church lays on it. And I'm not condemning anybody. I was the worst offender. Truly, I was. But I'm trying to say, now is the time. If we were ever going to get this right, we need to get it right. I love you. I'm sorry if I've been too harsh. But the Holy Ghost is on me. And I feel like he's having me be a little loud because he wants us to hear it. Hallelujah. I just love you so much. I want you guys. I want every one of you to move in real power. I want every one of you to move in real miracles. Miracles so great that, listen, miracles can move through your eyes, through your speech, through your hands, where you look at somebody, they're healed. You touch them, they're healed. You say, is that possible? Yes, it's possible, but we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have to be so transformed that the autoresponder of our spirit man kicks in instead of the negative. Or the fear, or the worry, or I don't know if I can, or I don't know if God's mad at me, or I don't know if I'm worried. That's worthy. That's all trash. That's all garbage. That's all Satan talk. That's what that is. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if I'm doing. That's all Satan talk. That's how Satan talks. He's the accuser of the brethren. And if you're repeating his words, you're enforcing his rule. So don't do that. Take what God has said about you. God has said you that he's called you worthy. God has said he made you righteous. God has said he filled you with his spirit, that you are your temple. Your body is the temple, the very house of God, going somewhere to happen. That the dead raising power, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, dwells in you. That the kingdom of heaven dwells in you. These are the things the word of God says about you. Transform yourself to become a machine that automatically produces the works of God instead of the works of the devil, okay? Sorry if I'm a little adamant, but God is you know, saying, you know, remember the old Uncle Sam? Uncle Sam wants you. God wants you. God wants you. He wants to raise you up to become who you really are and to reveal who you are in the spirit, amen? I love you. Better quit talking because I'm, you know, like, getting on my soapbox here. But God loves you, and he actually wants to raise you up to do great things. And I'm telling you, this is the day. This is the day to do it. I believe we're on the verge of the best or the worst, but we get to pick which it is, okay? Satan's people are not sitting still, and so we cannot sit still. And listen, if you're battling depression and fatigue, that's a trick of the enemy to try to stop you. Oh, yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, listen, very soon we're going to have a day where tomorrow isn't going to be a possibility. If we don't get this right, we're going to lose our tomorrow. We need to get this right, and we cannot put it off. Okay?
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.